You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome into a special edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast, where you might find out if you either got DFA'd or added to the 40-man roster. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. This guy next to me is my vice mayor, is one and only Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
Aren't people allowed to just like stay on the active roster?
No.
Everyone's in limbo.
Everybody is in limbo and everybody's career and future is in jeopardy. But of course, this show is brought to you by the fine folks of the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. We are here covering the fallout from the 40-man roster decisions that had to be made by 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time yesterday. And we had a chance to talk to Mike Hazen about some of those decisions that were made. But the Diamondbacks definitely had some tough decisions to make. And honestly, nothing really too surprising. Some of it is sad. And yes, we're going to get to Stone Garrett being DFA'd. But first, let's talk about what the Diamondbacks added and who they retained as part of their 40-man roster. Now, again, it's no guarantee that anybody that was not added to the 40-man roster is, in fact, going to be picked up by another team, right? Sometimes that's what the Diamondbacks and other teams have to do. They have to weigh the risk of actually losing a player potentially, and they got to try to do everything they can to keep those guys that are highly coveted by other teams. There's a good chance that perhaps Stone Garrett wasn't necessarily highly coveted by other teams and might make his way back to the D-backs. But first, let's talk about who they added to the 40-man roster, Jesse.
Yeah, it was Blaze Alexander, an infielder, who's one of the guys we've talked about, kind of expected. Jorge Barroza, interesting. He's an outfielder who hit Double-A this year, 21 years old.
Very good, I believe. Defensive outfielder.
Yeah.
So somebody that they have a high stock in.
Right. Yeah. Mike Hazen talked about in the press conference that they get asked about Barroza all the time, and he's a switch hitter, has a lot of upside there. Dominic Fletcher, he was basically a guarantee to get added. He was a part of that group. And then Justin Martinez, another guy we've been talking about a lot lately, someone else that we very much expected to be on the list. The biggest name for me, Derek, that's not on the list is Dominic Canzone.
Yes.
25-year-old outfielder, played most of last year at AAA, put up some pretty decent numbers there. That was probably the biggest surprise. Not too much of a surprise. He was sort of on the edge for me going in, so I'm not shocked by this, but it's interesting. It's not impossible that Dominic Canzone could be claimed by another team in the Rule 5 draft.
That's absolutely correct. And the Arizona Diamondbacks look like they were mainly trying to protect their pitching, especially Justin Martinez.
Yeah.
With how
after
hard
what he did
pitching
in the fall league, you just couldn't. There's no way that you could possibly not protect him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And pretty much it was the guys that we thought would be protected by the team, with the exception of Barroza. And they gave their reason for that. But I think, again, if you're a left-handed outfielder for this organization right now, they really have a hard time finding a guaranteed future for you with all of the young, talented left-handed outfielders that they currently have. So, but Barroza, again, probably the one surprise in there. Everybody else are guys that we expected them to retain and make room for. The room they had to make involved DFAing Sergio Alcantara, Stone Garrett, Jordan Luplo, and Caleb Smith. And of course, out of those four guys, Stone Garrett is the most surprising.
That's the one that stands out.
Sergio Alcantara and Jordan Luplo, obviously, they contributed to this team. Sergio more so than Jordan Luplo, but both were a big part at times of this team. Caleb Smith was very good for this team out of the bullpen, but due to injury,
very
and other
good.
Factors,
I might have to tap the brakes on very good
times. I'm not just talking about 2022. I'm talking about in general. Caleb Smith seemed to always be better out of the bullpen.
He was one of their better options, which I think says more about their other options than it does about him. But yeah, I mean, he is a guy they probably would have brought back for next year had it not been for the injury on the last day of the season. And from that point on, I think it was pretty clear this was the move that the team had to make. But yeah, Stone Garrett is the big surprise here. And to everyone who is distraught over this, who's not sure, like Derek himself, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, it's pretty weird to have a guy hit 276 and slug over 500 and just under 100 plate appearances in his first taste of the big leagues like Stone Garrett did, and get DFA'd just a couple months later. It's a weird look and not something that we anticipated. But basically the choice here, Derek, it says less about Stone Garrett standing among the other outfielders on the team for me as it does about Stone Garrett compared to some of the external options the Diamondbacks could get. By DFAing Jordan Luplo and Stone Garrett, the Diamondbacks have no right-handed hitting outfielders. They literally don't have a single one. I guess Cooper Hummel's a switch hitter, but he's probably going to be used more at catcher. Jorge Barroza is a switch hitter who's now on the 40-man roster, but he's not close to the big leagues. The Diamondbacks currently, as of now, do not have a right-handed hitting outfielder going into 2023, and Stone Garrett could have been that guy. But what this decision tells me is that the Diamondbacks would rather go out there and find somebody else to fulfill that role on the team in 2023. I think the strikeout rate was very concerning for them. Probably he struck out more than 32% of the time, hardly walked at all in that sample that we saw at the end of the year. Gabriel says Aaron Judge to the D-backs confirmed, which is the only thing this could possibly mean. So
I think that the Diamondbacks definitely, as we talked about in the past, and as Mike Hazen kind of confirmed to Jesse yesterday during the press conference, was that the Diamondbacks are, in fact, looking to add a right-handed bat to their outfield, but I think they're trying to add somebody that they can value more defensively, maybe have in there with some more plate appearances and not necessarily need to strictly use as a DH at times, like they kind of had Stone relegated to as far as a role goes.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike talked about how like he still thinks that the left-handed hitting outfielders will get the majority of the playing time,
correct.
Which is no, I mean, if you have Jake McCarthy and Corbin Carroll and Dalton Varsho and Alec Thomas, like that's where the majority of your at-bats are going to come from. But there's also something to be said for late in games. You know, if you want to avoid a bunch of left on left matchups, it's helpful to have, you know, a decent right-handed hitting outfielder who can also come in the game and play some defense. So I think that's a clear need for them. It's not just that they need a right-handed bat. It's that they need a right-handed hitting outfielder as well at this point. So whether that's AJ Pollock or Will Myers or whatever that looks like on the free agent market or otherwise, it'll be interesting to see.
And I think a lot of those guys are going to end up wanting maybe a position that's a bit more full-time. I don't know about AJ Pollock. He tends to be Mr. Glass, and I don't know if the Diamondbacks fans would even accept that without revolting and throwing things at him from the outfield.
I think that's possible.
I will say that Tommy Pham is a right-handed
Tommy Pham,
bat.
True.
I know he's a bit older in his career, but he still has, I think, a lot.
Still
in
hits
the
lefties.
Tank. Still hits
decently
lefties
well,
and could be a guy willing to accept a role like that. I think the one thing that I took away from Mike Hazen's press conference in regards to this and in regards to the trade that they made was the Diamondbacks seem to be wanting to make that leap. Right. I mean, they talked about how far away they were from winning. They also talked about how they internally have those discussions about how close they really are and how, you know, how basically how aggressive they need to get to make this team a winner. Last season obviously was a nightmare. 2021 is what I'm talking about, not 2022. They didn't even have really a starting rotation put together well due to the amount of injuries and everything they went through. But 2022 seems like they were much more on track. And I mean, we've discussed obviously the problems the bullpen have had all season long, but that seems to be now Hazen's focus. And also just trying to focus in on those key areas where they did lack, and right-handed hitting is one of those areas that they definitely lacked, right? But they also did make a trade yesterday, trading for Carlos Vargas, and they traded away young prospect in Ross Carver, who inevitably will make us regret doing that. But Carlos Vargas is very exciting, and Mike Hazen talked about wanting a bullpen arm that could throw hard, and this guy throws hard.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a shift for the organization. Mike Hazen admitted this, that they're basically choosing the reliever over the starter.
It's a change in philosophy for him, a little bit.
Right? It is. The D-backs over the past few years have really done everything they could to push guys to be starters and to try to pack their organization with as many starting pitching prospects as possible.
It looked like it pained Mike Hazen's face to even say this, by the way. It looked like it hurt him deep down inside, because he has always valued starting pitching very high. And I think he even like admitted it's maybe not so much a change in philosophy, but seeing a need. It might also just be the fact that he realizes now, after watching the playoffs, the quality of relief pitching that's out there. And you have guys throwing 106 miles an hour in the strike zone. You got to step your game up. Obviously, the bullpen for the D-backs were far behind other teams' bullpens when it came to that kind of dominance of bringing in a guy that can throw over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, and Carlos Vargas does that. He's coming off Tommy John surgery, so he threw about 36 innings this past season. Most of that was in Double-A. He did get 10 innings in with Triple-A in September, and he pitched really well there. He gave up one run in those 10 innings. He had 16 strikeouts, so the swing and miss stuff, I think, is for real. Totri and Emma are being problematic.
Fuck you.
As normal.
Fuck you. No, fuck
normal.
Both of you. And your takes on Taylor Swift. I heard what you said. Anyway, sorry about that. I had that stuff to deal
Taylor
with.
Taylor Swift is bad.
Get out of my. Get out of here right now.
Wrong.
You fucking suck, and you're wrong.
I'm only going to the Taylor Swift concert for Paramore. Swifties unite.
Thank you. See, I knew I always loved Espo. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks definitely stand poised to be more aggressive, I think, this season. I think that they feel, especially with watching what the Phillies did, and of course, we try to pump the brakes all around here and remind everybody that the Phillies had the fourth highest payroll in baseball, right? But with that being said, that it can't help that they made it so far that the Diamondbacks felt like they were so close to being in that, at least in that discussion for a wild card spot, and seeing what they did. I mean, I think the Diamondbacks truly feel like those bullpen losses that we've discussed quite a bit were just a huge factor when it comes to this team possibly being at least a playoff team. Maybe not ready. Maybe not, you know, at that World Series, you know, level yet. But
not quite.
But like the Seattle Mariners, right, where they made their first entry into the playoffs again, and they're back as a team. And now we're seeing them in making some trades to try to improve this team, bring in a bat and make their team better for next season.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, I think, feel like they're young. They're, you know, maybe still not close to the top of the division, but you might not need to worry about winning your division anymore with the way that baseball and the playoffs are now structured.
Yeah, I mean, winning the division is just always going to be a challenge for the D-backs. Even, you know, if everything goes right in the next few years and this team is winning 90-95 games, it's still going to be tough to win this division, right?
You're still going to have other fucking teams winning 100-plus games.
Right.
It's going to drive us nuts.
But then there's the Philadelphia Phillies, who just made it to the World Series as the first National League third wild card team ever, right? So you know that once you get in, you've got a shot. And I think the D-backs are maybe going to have to take that approach moving forward. But yeah, Carlos Vargas is sort of a wild card, like far from a sure thing. He was not on the Cleveland Guardians top 30 prospect list, at least not according to MLB Pipeline. He was number 24 on that list before the 2020 season.
Surgery,
so,
right?
Yeah, before Tommy John surgery. At that point, he was still being viewed as a potential starter. Now I think that's pretty much in the past. Everyone views him as a reliever, and that's probably the role that he was best suited for all along. So yeah, the D-backs don't have many guys like this.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have many guys who throw 100 and have a slider that's in the low 90s, right? But those are the kind of pitchers that you see in the postseason, that you see in the back end on a lot of these teams. And Mike has talked a lot about needing to add more swing and miss to the back end of the bullpen, and this could be a move in that direction. It's not a sure thing, right? You're giving up Ross Carver, who was a solid starting pitching prospect for the D-backs, pitched really well in Hillsboro. Shout out to the Hops. Derek is sporting the hat today. Once he got to Double A, he didn't pitch very well. He had an ERA over 9 in 9 starts with Double A later in the season. So Carver is, it could be something. He has a great curveball, but
absolutely, you know it. You know he's going to be right, but.
You know he's going to be, but
Mike Kazin had the best answer when asked yesterday
As
to why they were willing to part with Ross Carver. And the answer was, Jesse, what?
It was that because that's who they asked for.
That's who the Guardians wanted.
Word for word what Mike Kazin said. And he followed up and said, and also, like, it was a fair, he thought it was a fair ask for what the Diamondbacks were getting in return.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't seem like. It seems like the D-backs identified a player that they wanted to get in Carlos Vargas, who fit the mold of what they're trying to find moving forward. And they were willing to kind of give up whatever, as long as it wasn't, you know, as long as it was reasonable. So they got their guy, and we'll see how it turns out for them.
Tommy King in the chat had said, been a minute since I've seen him, but Frias is a flamethrower. No, yes, Frias, Luis Frias is absolutely a flamethrower, but we don't have many of those. And to be honest, from what we saw this season, it looked like he needed to kind of tame his velocity down a little bit in order for him to be effective and get in the strike zone. So maybe if he can make those two things come back together where he can be throwing 104 miles an hour again, like we've seen him do, but able to actually get it in the strike zone.
Yeah.
At a major league level, that's the only way he's going to be effective, because that might work in minor leagues, but it's not going to really get you anywhere at a major league level.
Yeah. Yeah. Frias is another name to keep in mind for sure. I think Frias, Justin Martinez, and now Carlos Vargas. That's the trio of like awesome stuff, but like you don't really know if these guys have what it takes to command the baseball at a major league level. So
exactly.
Frias is in the mix too. I don't think he has any guarantees going into next year. He's gonna have to come into spring training and prove himself. But yeah, Carlos Vargas, it sounds like could be an option in the big leagues for the D-backs next year. Mike Kazin said it's not as concrete as like he's definitely going to have a role in 2023. We're not at that point, but I think he and Martinez and Frias all have a shot in spring training to maybe make some noise and have a shot at making the opening day roster.
Going back to something that Ben asked in the chat, and I just want to say, I don't think you're a bit of a doomer for thinking that he said, am I wrong for feeling a bit doomer considering where the other teams are headed? I don't think so. I think that it's very hard. I feel like the Colorado Rockies and the Diamondbacks are always going to be in a weird position. But the Rockies, let's not forget, have a very high payroll as well. And they're spending a lot of money, too. They're just not spending it the right way, technically.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants, when they do spend money, seem to know where to spend it and how to spend it in an effective way. Not to mention, not to add to your feeling of doom, but Chris Bryant's going to be back next year for the Rockies, and they're probably going to be better too, considering his injuries and everything he went through this year. So the NL West is always going to be a very, very difficult division. Luckily, starting next year, we don't play them as much. So
there
is the opportunity for the Diamondbacks, even if the NL West is tough, for them to still make some noise and make the playoffs in 2023. And I don't know if I'm ready to even predict that happening yet, but let's see how drunk I get before the end of the show. And speaking of which, shout out to our friends at Four Peaks Brewing Company for providing me with plenty of Joy Bus Wow Wheat, because it's the only way I get through doing this show with Jesse, of course. But you can enjoy beer specials and all sorts of other fun by joining us for the World Cup matches for both the United States and Mexico at their 8th Street Pub. Check the link in the show notes to register for free. That way they have an idea of how many people are coming. Enjoy $3 kilt lifter specials and these bad boys right here for $3. Also, make sure to check out all of the World Cup action. The rosters have dropped. Ted Lasso sending out notes to all the team members for Team USA. And we're having a great time. It's less than 2 weeks away now. So can't wait to join the fun. We're sending Jesse out as a special correspondent to be there at the 8th Street Pub for all those all those football games. But join us.
Special
for that.
Correspondent.
You're
huh?
a special correspondent. Yeah, Jesse's going to be on assignment at the 8th Street Pub. But we've talked about this. We've done it. We've disagreed. But it is time for us to once again hand out another report card for another Arizona Diamondbacks player for the 2022 season. Jesse, ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right. Jesse wanted us to pick on Merrill Kelly this time. He thinks I'm going to give
on
him a
Merrill
D.
Kelly.
He was all sorts of speaking of being a doomer, this guy, just because I didn't give Zach Gallen an A plus for the 2022
season. No, it wasn't
season.
That you didn't give him an A plus. It's that you didn't even give him an A minus.
Yeah, you gave him a
B plus for a season where he's going to finish like top six in Cy Young voting. I thought it was I don't know, a little harsh. But
there was room for improvement, Jesse. There was room for improvement. Do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
All right, let's take a look at your.
So this is my Merrill Kelly report card. So we have our six different categories here. Fastballs, which is plural for a reason, because Merrill Kelly technically throws three of them. He has the four-seamer, he has the cutter, he has the sinker as well. Change-up, always been a big pitch for him. Curveball, command. And control. That's kind of a combo grade.
Let's take a step back, because one area we're definitely going to vastly agree on is the fastballs. Like, what is your idea behind your A minus here?
Yeah. So the A minus for the fastballs, I think it's so there's three pitches in there and I have very different opinions on them. So Merrill Kelly's four seamer might be the most underrated pitch on the Diamondbacks. One of the most underrated pitches on the Diamondbacks. If you look at his run value from all of his different pitches, which is just like a fancy metric that just measures the value of every pitch that a pitcher has. His four seamer grades out as his best pitch according to that metric. And his cutter is right there along with it. His four seamer and his cutter are both very, very good pitches. The sinker is a little bit more of a work in progress. He doesn't use it that much. But it was reasonably effective for him this year. So,
you're not going to like my grades. I'm just telling you that right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep going down the line here. So changeup, I have a B+.
Yep.
The changeup was like the big story coming into the season, is something he'd worked on over the off season, something that he had shown a lot of improvement on. It seemed like, all of the success he had specifically in the first month or two was heavily because of that changeup. By the end of the year, it actually graded out as about average. So I'm giving it a B+ here. There was a big spike in his ground ball rate on the changeup, which I thought was interesting. The curveball isn't a huge pitch for him. I think it might have taken a slight step back this year. He didn't use it quite as much. It's still a decent pitch. I have a C+ there, so still pretty decent. Command is always good with Merrill Kelly, so I'm going A- on command. He actually had the highest walk rate of his major league career this year. Oh. Which is strange, because he threw 200 innings and was an excellent starting pitcher. So that's why I'm going A- there. But overall, that's always going to be one of his strengths. I couldn't go anything but A+ with a 200 inning season on durability.
Can't.
So and then dogging him, I have an A. I'm not really sure exactly how to grade someone in dogging him. But
I did an excellent job.
Yeah, OK.
I mean,
all right.
Merrill Kelly has a dog in him. Gabriel Ferris says, let's hear about Middle Kelly, as Jesse calls him.
Oh my gosh.
As you can see, Jesse gave him very high marks.
I gave him pretty high marks. Yeah.
I'm going to attack the man's fastball right now. So, Lee, if we could throw up
card.
I gave him a D on his fastball.
Oh my gosh.
I know he throws three of them. And I know, like Jesse said, I'm not going to acknowledge that it's not his best pitch or that he's not very effective with it. But what Merrill Kelly calls a fastball averages out at what, like 92 miles an hour?
What Merrill Kelly calls could you say
fastball.
It in a more demeaning way?
It's a four-seam fastball that goes 92 miles an hour. I mean, it's good, but I'm actually right with you on his changeup and his curveball. I thought his curveball, like you said, his usage was very low on it, but it was kind of confounding at times because it seemed like a very good pitch at times.
Yeah.
Right? Like he seemed like
in the past,
throw
he's
a very
really,
good one. But
yeah.
It's almost like what we saw Zach Gallen when it came to the changeup. Changeup, he didn't throw it very much. So it's hard to grade it as being an effective pitch. But on the other hand, it's very effective when he does throw it. So you don't know why he doesn't throw it more. B+ for his changeup, though. His changeup is incredible. And again, the fastballs, really, it's about velocity there for me with Merrill Kelly and nothing else. His command has been incredible. His control has been incredible. It's A's the rest of the way down the board. But I'm giving him an A+. Like Jesse said, nothing else for durability at throwing 200 innings plus.
Yeah.
And it was also like a project for him. Like, you know, you have a kid in school that like sets out to accomplish a goal before the end of the season, and you might even be like, okay, good luck with that, pal. But he did it, right? And that's something that you can't take away from Merrill Kelly was he wanted to pitch 200 innings from opening day.
Yeah.
And he did it. And so between that and just the fact that, like, Merrill Kelly's stuff isn't great at times, yet he seems to be able to just do so much with it, you know, and he, that's why that dog in him, if I could give a higher than an A plus,
that's fair.
I would give him an S grade on that if I could.
For what Merrill Kelly has, like, yeah. I mean, the fact that he had a 3.37 ERA last year and a 1.14 whip was like basically the quality of a number two starter.
But his stuff doesn't top out at being very,
his
very
stuff
good.
On paper is not to that level.
When you start comparing his fastball and his other pitches to like the league, he's not very high as far as starting pitching goes. And I mean, it's literally his competitive nature and his ability to win baseball games. And even when he gives up three runs, the one thing that you always see out of Merrill Kelly is him bear down and do what he needs to do in order to keep any more runs from scoring. It's just not a trait that you see out of a lot of Diamondbacks pitchers, to be honest.
Yeah. Ben says he has above average spin on his fastball and some really good expected hitting stats against, so D is really unfair.
I don't care.
I mean, Ben, if you haven't noticed, Derek isn't necessarily the one to be, you know, scrolling through spin rates all day. So
I'm sorry. What's his average velocity? Fastball velocity is in the 29th percentile and Baseball Savant. So I'm not fucking wrong.
It was actually a career high. 92.6 was his average four seamer this year, which granted is not that fast, but it does play up. What Ben is talking about is true.
Yes.
He's in the 70th percentile roughly in fastball spin. Which does make the pitch play up quite a bit. So.
What are you giving him a grade for his 2022 season?
Overall?
Yeah.
Overall, I have an A. Just given that, like...
You just hand out A's all day long, don't you?
No.
Man, what I would have killed to be one of your students. Did everybody
I grade baseball players different than I grade math tests, all right? And I don't feel like I have to go into super depth on why that is.
I don't believe you.
I have an A because Merrill Kelly just threw 200 innings with a sub 3.4 ERA. Like, what more are you hoping for or expecting? And again, I'm doing this the same way I did Gallen. I'm doing this kind of with the player's talent level in mind. Like, this is peak Merrill Kelly. Like, I don't know how much better you could possibly expect him to get.
But
he's already
like
so incredibly good.
Like, you're grading him on himself instead of grading him on.
I am. Because, like, if we were to grade Sergio Alcantara's season, I'm not going to give him like D's across the board because he's a utility. Like, I'm going to grade him for like who he is and like how well I thought he fit the role that he was asked to fulfill.
Well, the D-backs gave him a D, that's for sure.
DFA.
DFA. My joke. I'm giving Merrill Kelly a B minus for 2022, and that's how. I'm not giving.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not giving him a single grade higher than that. Not
what grade
plus,
do I get as your co-host?
B.
Like
he's
a
like... C minus at best.
Okay.
What he's got going on over here, but that's at least average. So I'm a hard man to please. What can I say? But
I think we're just doing this kind of from two different perspectives, which is fair. Yeah. I mean, I still think that if you were just grading Merrill Kelly relative to the rest of the league, he's got to be higher than a B minus, right? I mean, like 200 innings with a 3.37 ERA. Like, I think there's less than 10 pitchers in baseball who had that low an ERA and threw that many innings this year. So I still think you're a little on the harsh side, Derek, but I am pleasantly surprised you didn't go D plus because that's what I was expecting coming into this.
So take what you can get from me. Of course, you can get what this guy has to offer when it comes to his writing and his opinion over at gophnx.com. If you haven't signed up for a membership, get yourself an annual membership. You will get your first free t-shirt from the phnxlocker.com. Every t-shirt after that you have to pay for. But luckily, as a member, you will get members only discounts over at the phnxlocker.com. And of course, hey, don't marry Derek. You'll be married for 20 plus years and they'll be like, this marriage is a C minus. Yeah.
I don't know how Jen does it.
I don't know either. Anyway, get yourself a t-shirt over at phnxlocker.com. If you guys get a month-to-month membership, you'll get your first month for just 50 cents. You'll also get those discounts at the phnxlocker.com. You'll get members only access to our Discord and you'll get members only invites to our events. So make sure to sign up. If you're watching us right now on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel, make sure to subscribe. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. And leave us a thumbs up. That way we know you like us and that you like what we're doing here. Of course, if you're listening on your favorite audio podcasting app, subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. We would thank you so much for doing so. Charles Woodall Pike in the comments said, would definitely be concerned if I had Derek as a teacher at PHNXU. You should be. You should be. that's all I'm going to say. I have called the Tampa Bay Rays, the Arizona Diamondbacks sister franchise for some time now.
This is true.
I said it for multiple reasons. I always felt like we were attached due to our – we were twins. We were born at the same time.
Born in the same year.
New teams, of course. There's a whole history that goes back to baseball arriving here in the Valley that actually involves the Seattle Mariners and all sorts of other teams and teams moving around and such. It's kind of crazy. But we were lucky enough to be born at the same time and the same age as the Tampa Bay Rays. I still hate that name. I still think Devil Rays is a better name. Ray is just a guy with a mustache standing on a street corner looking suspicious. That's what I think of the Tampa Bay Rays. But with that being said, the two teams continue to walk a very similar path, which is almost eerie when we say that. When we say a similar path, we almost mean the two teams are walking the exact same damn path. Let's take a look at not only some similarities that were shared by D-backs facts and stats, but this made it over to MLB.com as well.
MLB Network had literally this screenshot. So shout out to D-backs facts and stats for like going crazy viral with this.
This is incredible. Take a look at these, you know, comparisons between these two teams. We don't know. Jesse and I discussed this. We don't know if this includes playoffs, obviously, because the two teams have a different total of games played. So that would probably be the only way that could happen, right? As if this is counting.
Yeah, there are over the course of the last 25 years, if you go through the team's records, there are a few. I don't think every season was exactly 162. So
okay.
We're playing the lazy card here, and we haven't added up all the numbers to figure out if this includes the playoffs or not. But frankly, that's just a lot of work.
Yeah, so. That's so much work to figure out. But if you look, the wins and losses, losses identical. Wins, two games difference. The exact same winning percentage, games below 500, very close there as well. Five division titles to four division titles. The pennants, the Rays have been in the playoffs more consistently, not only with those pennants, but with the playoff appearances below. However, the Diamondbacks do have the edge when it comes to that beautiful World Series victory that we all know and love. So,
yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, like, so I guess the question is, which of these franchises would you rather be? Like, would you rather be the D-backs or the Rays?
There is an interesting idea there of, like, the Rays have made it more. They are also in a very difficult division, being in the AL East. That's hard to win, right? But, they do have the more consistent playoff appearances. They have more lately, which is encouraging as well.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that impresses me with the Rays is they seem to be able to do it with ever-changing rosters, you know?
Yeah. They've had a lot of players cycle through over the last few years. And I mean, they just stay an excellent baseball team year after year.
Oh, James Atwood explains it in the chat, by the way. He said Rays played only 161 games in 2000, 2002, and 2004.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was there. That's interesting. Yeah, it was just comparing these two teams. Like, it is crazy how close the numbers are all together. But the two teams followed very different paths to get there. The Diamondbacks made the playoffs in 99, in 2000. Of course, won the World Series in 2001. Made it again in 2002. So they were just an incredible baseball team almost right out of the gate. They weren't good in 98, but they got good instantly after that because of all the money they spent. Whereas the Tampa Bay Rays, I didn't realize that before looking this up before the show. The Rays did not have an above 500 season until 2008. They played a decade of baseball in Tampa without having, I don't think they won more than 70 games any of those years. It was a rough start for Tampa Bay. Whereas for them, they've turned things around and now have made the playoffs for three or four straight years. So the way that they've gone about it over these 25 years is very, very different.
I personally have talked about this quite a bit, but you know, one of the big reasons for that was the change in philosophy. The Diamondbacks very well could have had a team that wasn't successful for 10 years. That was almost the plan going into this franchise existing. And thanks to Jerry Colangelo.
It wasn't Jerry Colangelo's plan.
He wasn't. It was not Jerry Colangelo's plan. I wish I had audio of that meeting, but I personally feel like if I reenacted it, it would go something like this. Jerry Colangelo enters the room, screams out loud, "You idiots! You think people are really going to watch this shit?" That's what I feel like he said. But he was probably more diplomatic about it, knowing Jerry Colangelo.
Probably.
And he definitely did emphasized to his fellow partners and other people involved with the Diamondbacks that if they did not do something to make this team a winner early on, that this team would not be successful in the city of Phoenix. And to a degree, he might have been right. I mean, we were experiencing a lot of highs and lows sports-wise around that time, but this city at times does not necessarily isn't a super supportive city of sports teams that are losers. That's really what it comes down to. Teams that lose 100 games like the Rays did early on, teams that are kind of hard to watch, that have a lot of young players that are developing all at the same time. I mean, to a degree, the Diamondbacks are almost like that now, but the quality of their young players that are playing is very high, so we're seeing a better product on the field. But it still wasn't a winning season for the Diamondbacks last year, and who knows how long fans would have been interested in coming out to baseball games had it taken as long here in Phoenix as it did in Tampa Bay for the team to start winning. You know, I think it's something that to this day still I remember having a conversation with Travis Lee, and Travis Lee was honestly very hurt by this and by this, the way this went down. Like he was kind of sold as being the star of this team, a young star of a young team that they were going to take a while to build around and make this team good. But it was going to, you know, the one emphasis was always that it was going to take time.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's packing his bags and heading off to Philadelphia to send Curt Schilling here to Arizona, which ended up being one of the greatest moves in sports history here in Arizona, but also literally one of the biggest sacrifices as far as, you know, your young players and stuff to make to win a championship. Ultimately, the D-backs didn't really have a lot of guys from that early on group that they parted ways with that came back to bite them. Like there wasn't these all-stars that came from that group. So it ended up being, you know, the right move as far as Jerry Colangelo was concerned.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess in summary, it's like you'd rather be the Rays now, but you'd rather have been the Diamondbacks like in the late 90s, early 2000s.
What if we were still chasing that championship, though? I mean, like, I don't know how Rays fans feel. Like, I almost feel like there is a certain level of letdown because you can only go down from winning that championship, right? But the Tampa Bay Rays fans are still hungry for that first World Series
title. They've been to two.
And they made it
in 2008. I don't know how they made it in 2008, honestly. Looking back at the 2008 Rays roster at first glance, it's like, huh, interesting. I don't know how this team made the World Series. The Rays have been a really solid team for the last few years. I think they're on about as solid footing as any franchise moving forward.
You know what they're really good at is, to be honest, the Rays are good at not overpaying anybody and still putting a good baseball team out on the field.
Right. That's why, I mean, they've been the blueprint for teams like the D-backs. At least that's what people say. I don't know if the D-backs in-house are like talking about the latest, greatest thing that the Rays do all the time. But
I feel like the Astros are kind of more of a blueprint the Diamondbacks would want to follow when it comes to, you know, growing your own talent. I don't know, maybe cheating a little bit there in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then adding to it when you need to win another World Series. I don't know. It's still amazing that those two teams are still so similar considering, you know, their connection to each other when they came into the league. It's just amazing. Baseball is something else really when it comes to it. And like, I don't know how you can't be romantic about those numbers.
Can we put the numbers up one more time? I do have a slight, a very slight gripe. And this is something that Patrick Lyons, our friend from DNVR, pointed out. These numbers are uncanny, but maybe not quite as much as you think, because they're kind of all just restating the same thing, like wins and losses. Once you know that the wins and losses are about the same, the win percentage, of course, is going to be the same, and the number of games above or below 500 is also going to be the same.
Shut up.
They're just kind of restating the exact same numbers over and over again.
So earlier, Elizabeth said, "I'm not convinced D-backs fact isn't secretly Jesse," but now I'm convinced that it's not secretly Jesse.
No, I would have, but I mean,
the redundancy, how dare this person?
There's a lot of redundancy in this graphic, but I mean, in like the postseason comparison, they've both been like kind of average in terms of postseason appearances. So I'm not like totally, I don't know. Like if you compare two teams,
it definitely feels like the Rays have made it more times than just two extra times over the D-backs.
Yeah.
But like you said,
which is like recency bias.
That's recency
more than
bias.
Anything else, because
they have done it more recently and the Diamondbacks have struggled to make the postseason. But we're not the only ones that think that the Diamondbacks are a better team and don't give a shit about what those numbers actually say. Our boy Talking Jake also says, except the Rays are mid and the stakes rule. That's the only fucking fact that matters right there. He's not wrong.
Talking Jake is, I still don't really understand where his affinity for the Diamondbacks came
it
from
came
or why
they
he's
sent
still
him free swag.
That's, is that what it was?
That's
okay.
Really what it all started.
Okay.
With, so
I think it's in his Twitter bio.
Yeah.
It's like
oh yeah,
like D-backs fan yeah. or something. See, it's in
so
there
once
somewhere.
Again, all you have to do to win my affection is send me free stuff. Shout out to Roosevelt's. Anyway, we thank you guys, and shout out, speaking of which, shout out to our friends at More Furniture that made our office beautiful, our space beautiful, and of course, give us a place to work and enjoy, watch sports, play Madden, all this stuff. But if you can get your house ready for that too. By sprucing up your home during More Furniture's fall sale over at morefurniture.com, you'll receive a $100 gift card for every $1,000 you spend on top of the savings that you can get over at morefurniture.com. What do you want to buy for – what do you need to buy? Do you need – you still need an office chair?
Are they I still, do need an are office
still,
chair. Yeah.
Are they still, like, not letting you because of your association?
Yeah,
with me?
Yeah. I need to get with Max, see if we can work something
rough.
Out there.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my reputation precedes me everywhere I go, but – we'll get this figured out. And of course, I'm never allowed to buy another office chair there. So maybe I'll just let Jesse get one. But you do so. And don't say you know me there. That might not be good for you or your discount.
Just say PHNX sent you.
Yeah,
don't,
say
PHNX
sent
you.
Toadry sent you. Somebody like that. I don't know. But of course, we thank you guys for joining us today here in the chat. We always appreciate you being here. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for eating lunch with us and you know giving us your Merrill Kelly grade. So on behalf of Leah, Jesse, and myself, we always appreciate spending this hour with you. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when your expansion team at least wins one World Series.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.